This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, here we go, everybody. It is the most wonderful time of the year. It's October. We got Halloween right around the corner. We got football. We've got playoff baseball. And we've got the regular season of the NHL starting. Mere hours away, if you want to look at it that way. Hours away. I don't know when you're listening to this. To the Caps and Rangers on TNT. I can't wait. But the Capitals have remained very busy this weekend. So, of course, Coach Dan and I have to cover it all. Here we go. Bright and early Monday morning is when we're recording. Coach Dan, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm still a little sleepy, man. How you doing?
I had a very busy weekend. I am so tired. It is a busy time of year. It is nuts. But the Capitals have been busy, dude. I don't even know where to start. I guess let's start with what happened on Friday. Captain of the team, Alexander Ovechkin, went down in the last preseason game. He did not practice on Sunday. I'm hearing it's not that bad of an injury, but never a good time, never a good feeling to know your captain, the guy that you just signed to be on your team for life, goes down. And, I mean, he did. He re-signed his contract. He's not going to go anywhere.
For life, it was 5 years.
I mean, it's his whole NHL career.
Yes, the odds of him playing somewhere else is, unless they decide to blow it up if the season's going poorly and they have a fire sale, he'll play his whole career in Washington.
Correct. He will finish his career with Dynamo Moscow, I have no doubt in my mind. But let's talk about Alexander Ovechkin. Let's talk about what happened with him. Injury, I'm hearing it's not that bad, but what do you think? What's the latest that you've heard about Ovi?
I mean, I've just been seeing what's been posted on Twitter in terms of from Tarik El-Bashir or Samantha Pell. It sounds like, or it looks like he was kind of walking around practice on Sunday. No limp, no brace, no wrap. So that's definitely good news. He appeared to be okay. Part of me wonders if this is just a precautionary thing by holding him out. I believe Laviolette came out and said that he is day-to-day, but doesn't appear to be long-term. You know, they're not sure if he's going to play Wednesday, but I think they're just being kind of coy right now with some of that information. There's a chance he misses the game. Yeah, and that's, you know, reality. I think the Caps have been lucky over the years, the fact that he's always been really healthy and hasn't missed a lot of games. But, you know, injuries happen, and good teams are able to overcome that. But I don't know how long it's going to be. And I saw McMichael took his spot on the top line in practice. And I'm looking at that as, yes, one way it could be is it's a compliment or a little bit of extra motivation for McMichael to be like, look, you're getting this spot. You're getting an opportunity to showcase yourself with Kuznetsov and Wilson. Or I'm looking at it as, you know, maybe he's not quite as far up the depth chart, and that's why LaPierre is centering the third line with Backstrom still out. They move Eller up to the second, and McMichael's just a fill-in until Ovechkin's ready. So I'm not really sure how to read that as much, but I think that they're not overly concerned about Ovechkin being out. It was also, like, I watched a video of the hit. It wasn't that big of a deal. Like, it just kind of, he kind of hit the guy. I couldn't really see where it was. So it doesn't make, I'm not, like, overly concerned about it. Doesn't seem like the team's overly concerned about it. Practice starts in about 6 minutes. Yeah. So we'll see if he's out. We'll be able to live discuss if he's practicing this morning or not.
Yeah, I mean, his website called it. Russian machine never breaks. I mean, that's kind of like Ovi's big thing, is that this guy always he always bends but never breaks. So hopefully what we're seeing is it's all precautionary. I mean, he is a veteran. He is an older guy. So if he misses a practice or two, I'm hoping that means it's not a big deal. But Wednesday night, it's up against the Rangers. We all know what happened last year, and we know that there's some bad blood. There's a reason why they're opening the first game on TNT with Caps Rangers. I mean, there's a big reason for that. So Ovi, they're going to want him out there. Ovi's going to want to be out there. I would assume this is all precautionary and just hoping that he plays. Of course, you know, we're just a little fan podcast. We're not, we don't have any behind the scenes info, but I would think Ovi would be there on Wednesday. But, you know, we'll see going down the road. But like you said, Connor McMichael taking his spot on the top line. I think that's kind of like almost a job well done type of sign from Laviolette, kind of being like, hey, you know, you did really great in training camp. Here's a kind of gift for you. You get to play with Kuznetsov and Tom Wilson on the top line. Let's see what you can do. So the guy had a good training camp. Like you said, Henrik Lapierre did as well. He centered the third line. TJ Oshie had some very nice things to say about the kid as well. So I think this is kind of just a way of making sure these guys know some of the hard work you had paid off.
Yeah, but if that's the case, and if, say, McMichael's ahead of Lapierre in terms of the depth chart, right? He's higher up in terms of who they think is going to be playing on opening night or for the season or whatever the case may be. Then don't you slot him in at the third line center spot? And Lapierre's your placeholder until Ovechkin's ready?
Can Lapierre play both spots, or can Connor McMichael? Or can both of them?
I don't know.
Have we seen Lapierre wing at all?
No. I mean, I think it's not unprecedented for young centers to come in and play on the wing. I believe Backstrom did it when he first came in. I believe he was like under with Nylander potentially. Marcus Johansson did it with the Caps. Plenty of centers have come in and played the wing to start. So I don't think it's unprecedented for McMichael or Lapierre to play on the wing to start their careers. That's part of me wonders is Lapierre ahead of McMichael on the depth chart right now, and that's why he's centering the third line versus McMichael's a placeholder. I just don't know, and it may be irrelevant once Backstrom comes back, but I found it interesting that Lapierre has that third line center spot, and he's had a heck of a camp.
Yeah.
And that could be more, you know, part of it could be more of a reward with Backstrom not starting right away of like, hey, you've done really well. We're going to give you this opportunity to go first. And then, once Backstrom's back, we'll see how things go. But, I mean, this is not a bad problem to have. If anything, this team just has seems to be really good young players that they're going to be able to bring up. And whether they play a big role this season, be at the beginning or throughout or into next season, you know, it's important because this team is one of, if not the oldest in the league. I mean, we'll see what happens when the roster settles. It's one of the oldest teams in the league, if not the oldest. They need to get younger. Their star players are getting in towards the end of their careers. And you need to be prepared. If you're Brian McClellan, you're looking at this. Yeah, his job as general manager is to make sure that this team is ready to compete night in, night out this season. But he's also needs to be looking at next season and the year beyond. And 5 years down the road, when Ovechkin and Backstrom are both out of contract. I mean, Backstrom's 4 years left on his deal. Ovechkin has five. But he needs to be thinking about, okay, who are my next players to go with? And some of them may not be on the team yet. They may not have been drafted or a free agent or a trade. But he needs to be planning ahead to the post-Ovechkin-Backstrom era in D.C., and Lapierre and McMichael are likely going to play a big part of that.
I mean, we'll see what happens. We know what Brian McClellan likes to do with young guys. He likes to use them as bargaining chips to bring in veterans. So
not all.
he does. I mean,
no, he does because this is a team that needs to win now. When you have,
I think that's still the attitude. I don't think looking at 5 years down the road. I think he's like, I want to cup and I want this year. I don't think so. I don't.
Mean, if you're breaking up percentage-wise, I feel like this season, I didn't really think about the percentage-wise ahead of time, so I have no idea what I'm going to say this. But like, I feel like it's like 60 to 70% this season, but that rest of that 30% is focusing on years down the line. And maybe it's not just him. You know, he's got scouts that are looking into that. But I think right now this team, and not even right now, over the last 10 years to an extent, this team has been a win now mode. They've been, we need to win now. We have a once in a generation player in Ovechkin. We have a first ballot should be Hall of Famer in Nick Backstrom. We've got incredibly talented players that we've come through in Oshie, in Orpik, and then Holtby. They've had players that have been able, they've been able to build around John Carlson. I can't believe I forgot him, that they've been able to build around to create not only a team that can compete in the playoffs every year, or we're supposed to, but that have won it and can win it on paper and did in 2018. But at some point, that's going to end. You know, Ovechkin's going to retire at some point. Faction's going to retire at some point, and you need to you need to have a plan. And so while I think over the last 10 years or however long McCollum's been with his team, it's been win now mode, which is why he's been, and you see this with every team that's in win now mode. You're willing to give up prospects and picks to get the cup now and to make a play for it. But at some point, that's not going to be the case. Now, if they do this rebuild or retool when Ovechkin and Backstrom are gone correctly, it's less of a transition than when, you know, you're going through almost like, I'm trying to think of a good team to compare it to. Kind of Chicago in a way, but they would like completely rebuild their not core players, and some of their core players, but their surrounding cast. But you want to be able to continue winning, right? You don't want to necessarily go into the Detroit Red Wings model where you are dominating for a long time, but then your players have all aged out, and now you're really struggling to win night in and night out. And so if you can do this well, you are prepared to – you take a little bit of a step back once your star generational talent retires, but you've got young players in McMichael and LaPierre. I don't think they're moving them out unless it's a – someone who's going to be around a while. Like if you're going to move out of McMichael or LaPierre, you're bringing in someone who's in their early to mid 20s who's going to be with you for 10 years, which I still don't see them moving either one of these guys. But I think right now they're in win now mode. But at some point in the next 5 years, they're going, or just after 5 years when Ovechkin's contract is over, they're going to have to look to the future. And that means new star players. That means, you know, is McMichael and LaPierre at that point, are they incredibly good players that, you know, when you go into the NHL store in New York, you're going to see their name on the back of a shirt hanging up in the store? Yeah, I don't want to say like the what formerly known as Kettler or at Capital One, because they have a bunch of players up.
Yeah.
You want to have these players that are going to be marketable and good. And you can't rely on Ovechkin and Backstrom 5 years from now, because likely they're done playing. You know, you're going to have Kuznetsov, maybe. Carlson's going to be, you know, he'll be getting near the end of his career. He'll be, what, 35 at that point? So that's when you want to have these young guys coming up. And if you're McClellan, you need to start planning. Okay, these are the players that I think in the organization are going to be the ones that will be playing in D.C. every night that we have in our prospect pool right now. And there's probably a couple of them that either haven't been drafted yet or are on other teams right now. But I think he has to be looking towards that. And so he can't always trade away the young talent. He had to for a while, and he's still probably going to a little bit, but I think at some point he's certain guys are untouchable. If someone calls and says, "Hey, we'll give you so-and-so for Connor McMichael," he's going, "Okay, who are you actually calling about?"
Right.
Like, that's not happening. You know, LaPierre's probably not happening unless it's a really good young, like if they called up and they said, I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now, but like some really good young player that's in their early to mid 20s. Like, that's at least a phone conversation, you know? But if someone calls up and says, "Hey, we'll give you this 34-year-old who's having a really good season for Connor McMichael," I'm hanging up the phone.
Right.
So that's my thoughts on that particular aspect.
Well, as we get closer to opening night, which, again, is Wednesday up against the Rangers, we're getting a little bit closer look of what the final roster is going to be. The Capitals have made a couple moves. They sent Garrett Pylon and Zach Fucale down to the Hershey Bears. No word yet if they've been picked off by waivers. I don't believe they have been, but the one
we'll
that
find
really,
out later today.
Yeah. The one that really shocked people over the weekend was Michael Kempney, who did clear through waivers and is going to Hershey. Michael Kempney was cut from the roster and sent down to Hershey, which I hate to say this, but I'm not really surprised that happened, because he's been gone a long time. He's missed plenty of seasons. He's had some really bad injuries, some freak injuries, all to his left leg. And this training camp, he just did not look good. I mean, he got outplayed a lot, and he just not the player he once was. I think a lot of people were pulling for him, but he just couldn't get it done. Unfortunately, that means going down to Hershey for a guy who's been in this league for a very long time, a Stanley Cup champion with us. But I don't know. I mean, they had to clear off some cap space as well so they could keep other players around. But you got a feel for Kempney at this point. He worked really hard to work his way back, and he just it's just not there anymore.
Well, I don't know if I go so far to say it's not there anymore. It certainly seems to be the case. But when you're out for essentially two seasons, I mean, it's going to take a while to get back into the swing of things. And I think that sending him down to Hershey, I don't think it was a surprise he cleared waivers. I don't think anybody's taken on that contract considering his play
right
since coming and his recent injury history. But I think that sending him down to Hershey was the right move because it gives him game time. He's going to be playing, I have to imagine, barring an injury or just needing a break, every game for Hershey. And you're putting a veteran guy down there with young players like Alex Luxleaf, so that's going to help him. And it gives you a guy that, if he's playing well, you can bring him back up and have him play. Now, he may get claimed on waivers when you're trying to bring him up. That's a possibility. I believe that's still the case, or things that can happen. But I think it makes sense for the team. It saves them about 1.3 and change on the cap it, which is very helpful, especially if you're going to keep LaPierre and McMichael on the roster. But then it makes sense because he needs to be playing to get back, if he can, get back to some semblance of what he was before the injuries. And it, you know, if he can't, then he runs out his contract, because I believe he's a free agent after the season. He runs out his contract in Hershey. The cap hit's not as bad as it could be, you know, half of it. And it gives you a veteran presence down with the Bears. So I don't have a problem with this move. I'm sure he was bummed. But I have to imagine, given his play this preseason, he can't be... Like, I highly doubt he's going into this overly shocked.
Yeah, I don't think he's overly shocked either. But, I mean, it's got to be rough. It's got to be rough for him doing that. But
oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, you're a veteran guy. You've won a cup. You've played a ton of games. But for someone to come in and say, look, you're just not good enough right now to play on this. And I highly doubt they phrased it that way, because that's just rude. I have to imagine that he went into this being like, it makes sense. You know, he's just, he hasn't been playing well enough, and it gives him an opportunity to play. And if, to some extent, it may be an opportunity to light a fire under him a little bit, because it's like, hey, you need to play, but you need to play better. And so we're going to give you this opportunity, and hopefully he takes advantage of it.
And with that move and with the last two cuts for the Capitals, they are down to 24 players on their roster. And really, there's one thing left to figure out, and that is Nick Backstrom. Mm-hmm. The Capitals have not made, as of this recording, a decision on what they will be doing with Nick Backstrom.
Do you find that weird?
No, I think that they are...
I don't think he's playing opening night. I mean,
no, I don't either, but I think the decision is, do we send him on long-term injury reserve, which means he's going to miss at least 24 days, or do we keep him on the roster and just kind of hope he's back whenever he feels the best? But he hasn't skated at all during training camp. He hasn't done anything. He's going to need some time to get the rust off. Like, I don't think we've ever seen Nick Backstrom in a Bears jersey, but like, will he be the type of guy that's going to get a stint in Jersey?
I will get that jersey.
In Hershey, I mean, not Jersey. Will he be have a stint in Hershey to kind of get his legs back underneath him? I don't know. Time will tell, but they're skating right now as we record this, and there's no changes from yesterday. And Nick Backstrom is still not there. He's still not on the ice. So really, it's a decision of, is he out for a couple games, two or three, or is he out long term?
Yeah, but can't you put him on injured reserve, and then, you know what, turns out it's going to be longer, just switch him over to long term injured reserve?
I don't know. They've got a lot of money to play with, so like, I don't know how that works.
First of all, if you can't do that, if you can't put someone on injured reserve in the long term injured reserve, if that has something to do with cap space, that's beyond my understanding. But if you can't put someone from injured reserve and turns out, oh, you know what, it's longer than we thought, it's gonna be longer, you can put them on LTIR, like, that's just dumb if you can't do that. Like, I don't understand that ruling, because that's just reality of injuries and things happen, and you know, you go in and you think it's one thing, and like, oh, it's way worse than we thought, we need to switch it up. So that makes sense to me. You know, put them on IR, then you switch them over to long term, and maybe that's a matter of like, okay, he's on IR, but then the long term injured reserve is not, oh, what's the word I'm looking for here, it doesn't count as like what he's already accrued up to. Not retroactive, right? So you put him on long-term injury reserve 2 games later, those first 2 games don't count. He still has to sit out that certain amount of days. You know, maybe there's part of that at play. I just think it's weird they haven't made a move with him yet. The only reason I can think of not making a decision yet is that you think he can play on Wednesday or game two. But I don't anticipate that happening. He hasn't skated
at all. Even when somebody's coming back from an injury, they usually, you know, get that light blue practice sweater and they're skating before everybody else or after everybody else just to kind of get back into it. He hasn't even done that. So I can't imagine why you're not putting him on long-term injury reserve and just waiting it out. I know he's one of our best players, and you want him out there on the ice, but it just, to me, it would make sense for him to go on long-term injury reserve.
Yeah.
It would make some of the other players that are fighting for a spot kind of realize, like, oh, you know, this worked out for me. I'm here. I don't know.
I'm a little shocked that he hasn't gone yet. I'm honest. Like, it's a little strange. I don't see the benefit, and maybe I'm just not smart enough, and maybe I'm missing something, and someone's going to yell at me on Twitter. But I haven't figured out why they haven't
done
it yet. I don't understand why you haven't done it yet. Like, he's not going to play on Wednesday night. He's going to be incredibly rusty. Not like Michael Kennedy rusty, but he's going to be rusty if he goes and plays a game after not having skated at all. So I don't know. Speaking of not skating, it looks like Ovechkin is not skating in today's practice either.
Correct. So that's two people. So the lines haven't changed.
Two in a row.
So right now the lines are practicing on Monday the 11th is McMichael, Kuznetsov, Wilson, Mantha, Eller, Sprong, Sherry, LaPierre, Oshie, Haglund, Dowd, Hathaway. Then we have Fehivaari, Carlson, Orlov, Jensen, TVR, Schultz. Then we have Pylon, I think that's how you say his name, Malenstein, and Irwin as extras. No backstory.
Where are you looking?
Samantha Pell wrote that yesterday. Steven Wino just said same lines and pairs today.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't see her post anything about the lines today. I was like, what's wrong with my computer?
Yeah, that she posted that yesterday, and Steven Wino confirmed it's the same today as it was yesterday.
Okay.
And she, 2 minutes ago, she also just posted her what he just said as well. So she confirmed that he is correct.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm not surprised that they wouldn't have changed the lines. I mean, I think they know what their lines are going to be, you know, when everyone's healthy. It doesn't seem like it's much different from last season. I think that's why a lot of NHL pundits are not giving the Caps a lot of credit this season. I mean, given Carolina and the Islanders look like two very good teams in the Metropolitan Division this year, I think they are the two teams that are, you know, to beat if you want to do anything. But I think the Caps, if they can play well and their players stay healthy, that they have an opportunity to really make a splash. But it's, you know, it's going to be an interesting season to watch. And injuries are going to play a big part. And they've already affected the Capitals going into it. Their two most important players aren't practicing today. One's going to be out a little while, and who knows how long Ovechkin's out. But, you know, he still has a chance. You know, he's been playing this preseason, so if he's out these two practices and he practices on Tuesday morning and he goes into Wednesday's game, you know, he could still play. Heck, he could probably miss Tuesday's game and still play Wednesday. But that's something else to keep an eye on. And also, it's like a weird little hit, too. Like, he hit the other dude.
Right.
So I don't... This one's just weird how he got hurt. Like, almost like he just stepped wrong.
I mean, it happens. It happens.
It's just, it's a very weird one.
We've had a couple names that we have been talking about throughout this entire preseason. Connor McMichael, you know, Henrik Lapierre, Martin Fehivaari. Those are the three names that we've talked about. There's a good chance of them making this team. But then you also have a guy like Matt Irwin, and you have Beck Malenstein, who we haven't really spoken about a lot, hasn't really made a splash, but they're making this regular season roster. I don't know much about these guys at all, but there's a chance that they could impact the Capitals. They might be extras. They might be just some depth guys, but there's definitely going to be a couple new names here that the fans are going to have to get used to.
Yeah, and that happens every season, so I don't think that's necessarily as, you know, it's not something that anybody should be worried about. Malenstein's been with the Bears. I think he's a bottom six forward. He's likely going to fill in on the fourth line or third line if they need someone to, if they aren't bumping up like Haglund or Hathaway. And Irwin is depth. They signed him in the offseason. I don't think he was like an exciting signing. I don't even know if we covered it, and because it's just kind of one that flew under the radar. But I think he's a depth defenseman that it worked out as a smart move because Kempney wasn't ready, and Irwin can come in and be the guy who's not playing every night. But I do hope they have some rotation. I do hope that we see both these guys playing, and not because of injuries, but because Laviolette is letting other guys get some rest throughout the season, because even in a shorter season last year, the defense ran out of gas as we got into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And some of this has to do with injuries, but also just exhaustion. You know, so I'd like to see some rotation. I want to see Irwin and Malenstein playing, just not as a result of someone else being hurt. You know, let them get a game. Let Haglin take a night off. Hathaway take a night off. Dowd, whoever. You know, let some players get a couple of games off throughout the season so that they can get, assuming they make the playoffs. And I think it was John Scott, the former NHL superstar.
Sure.
That commented that the Caps aren't making the playoffs this year. You know, so hopefully they make the playoffs and prove him wrong, and that, you know, they have some relatively fresh players because they've given everybody an opportunity to get a break.
Now, before we dig into this game up against the Rangers, I mean, that's what everybody's here to talk about is the regular season. I do want to bring off that Ilya Samsonov did debut a new lid recently. I hope you got a chance to look at it. But it's interesting to me that Sammy puts out this new lid, and it's got the Screaming Eagle on the side of it. He's got his numbers as the reverse retro numbers as well underneath the Screaming Eagle. Phoenix Copley puts out a new mask, and he used the old school 70s Capitals script, and then he also used the Screaming Eagle on his mask. I mean, I'm stretching here, but are players kind of telling the Caps organization, hey, we dig this logo, maybe we should go back to that Screaming Eagle because we kind of dug those threads?
First of all, if that's the case, they're correct. Second of all, I always wonder how much say does a goalie have in the look of their helmet? And I mean that in the sense of, like, do they go and do they see the look of it and then make tweaks? Do they get to say, hey, this is what I've designed? Or do they say, I want these things somewhere on the helmet, you know, on the back, I'd like to have this little thing for, you know, my home country's flag or whatever. On the front, I'd like to have the Screaming Eagle. I'd like to have my name along the chin, like most do, blah, 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 blah. You know, how much say do they have in their helmets? Or do they go, hey, I play for the Caps, let's make it look cool. And maybe it depends potentially on the person, you know, so we may have a goalie who's really proficient in Photoshop who, you know, he's like, I can design this, and he sends the file over. It's probably not Photoshop, it's probably something else, some other file or program. Or you could have a goalie who's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Just give me something, you know, make it look cool. So it depends. You know, it's kind of like, I always wonder, it's probably not with the NHL because it's all under the same with Adidas, but like, how much say do teams have in the look of their jerseys? And probably more so in the NHL because they don't switch them up. Maybe this is more of like a European football thing, but I always wonder that in terms of like, how much say do they have? Do they get to have input if they get presented a look by a team or a clothing manufacturer? Can they go, this is garbage? Like, no, try again. You know, do they get multiple renditions of what it should look like, and then they, you know, they can pick one? So I just find that interesting. But you know, I'd love to go back to those reverse retros as their home jerseys. It was Greg Wyshynski from ESPN had put out, and I think I sent you the info. He put out that did we talk about this last week?
I don't think so.
So he put out a column, I believe he's the one that wrote it, about it was like the five teams that need to switch up their jerseys, and the Caps were one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked to the guy from, I think it was from Aesthetics. And I'm looking at the Caps jerseys right now in my closet. I got to really think the reverse retro would make an amazing home jersey. Even if you take the blue at the bottom and make it red, I really feel like they're missing a great opportunity to roll with those.
I mean, if they've never done anything with the Weagle that's on the shoulder, so I mean, that would be a good compromise to put
that. That's a good secondary logo.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine.
Bring back the Screaming Eagle, but only if you have the reverse retro jerseys.
I'm fine with making that the third, make the W the blue the primary. I've been pushing for that since that debut.
I'm gonna hang up this call now.
So you can't hang up a Zoom.
You can't. So, oh, leave, whatever.
But that little bit of news I thought was kind of interesting. It's a sick looking lid that Sammy made. I'm really impressed with it.
It's very busy.
I like Copley's better. Of the two, I like Copley's the most. So I don't think VTech has done anything different. But if you remember,
little Seattle thing on it. He actually didn't even have his he never even had one made up. Like, he didn't have time. I think he'd like talk to a guy and he was like, hey, this is what I want. And he was like, oh, you got traded back. He was like, all right, never mind.
Yeah, whatever. I remember when we got Halak, we brought him in, and he just wore a white lid, if you remember. It was just plain white. And I'm like, that's actually kind of cool because it's kind of bright. It's white and it's something different just because, I mean, normally people come in and just do all these crazy designs, and his was just white. So it's kind of a
bit old school.
Yeah, a bit old school. Which, since I brought up Halak, I do want to bring this up as well. Again, before we get into the Rangers game, we do have to talk about that. The IIHF has started announcing some of the Olympic teams for the Beijing 2022 games. And of the Capitals, Alex Ovechkin, of course, he's making Team Russia. But Halak, he did make Team Slovakia. Good for him, former Cap. And Philip Grubauer made Team Germany. So good for him, another former Capital. So they're announcing three players for each team so far. Interesting that Oshie, Carlson, Eller, Vitek, none of them have made their respective teams yet. So we'll see. But hey, there's two former Capitals and our captain playing in the Olympics confirmed. So congrats to those guys. Hopefully we'll get some more Caps upcoming in the next couple weeks to talk about that. But anyway, let's talk about this regular season game coming up. It's the Rangers. It's on TNT. We know drama. They're going to be up against each other. This one, maybe that is another big reason why you keep Ovechkin out. This is going to be a hard-hitting game. There is no love lost between these two teams. We know how the series ended last year. A lot of bad blood there. What can we expect, do you think, about this first game of the regular season up against the Rangers?
I mean, I think it's no surprise that they went out and got Ryan Reeves from Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, I think after the whole thing last season, I think the Rangers were angry. I think they are overdramatic in terms of what moves they've made this offseason. I think they're going to come out and they're going to try and hit everybody. And, you know, I don't know if they're going to come out and necessarily try and cause injuries, but I think they're going to try and send a message to the Caps and to an extent the NHL. I think the Rangers got a bit of flack in the offseason in terms of the moves they made. You know, they fired the general manager and the head coach. They're like trying to revamp the team a bit and to be a bit more physical. I mean, I think they're almost trying to be like the Flyers in that regard. And I don't know. Some of their moves were a bit interesting. We'll see how they work out. But I think I can see why they, you know, fans of their team and some of the players might be angry about what happened and they want to go out and send a message. But it's just game one. You know, it's going to be an exciting game. It's going to be hard fought. But let's all settle down because it's a regular season now. And it's a condensed season. So you can't, you know, you don't go out and you'll have the excitement of game one. But there's a lot more to play for this season. So, you know, it'll be crazy. The first 10 minutes is going to be intense. And then after that, they'll probably settle in a bit. If I'm Tom Wilson, I just got to get through those first 10 minutes.
It's a condensed season. What do you mean by that? It's still 82 games.
No, but they have the Olympics, so it's like it's condensed because there's going to have that big break.
Oh, less days off, you mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
If that wasn't clear.
Yeah.
There's more back-to-backs. There's going to be more, you know, it's a lot of hockey to play. And if you're playing at the Olympics, it's even more. So, you know, you can't just be looking at this and going, this is the game that matters. I'm like, well, it's game one of 82. Like, settle down. Every game matters, but you need to be able to play every game. And if you, you know, burn out all your energy and all your mental toughness in the first game or the first part of the season, you know, enjoy golfing in, in early April.
Yeah, it seems to me like the New York Rangers, they went out, they did get Ryan Reeves, they're making some moves.
They made moves to get bigger, more physical.
And it seems that they're trying to compete with the Capitals while the Capitals are trying to go far into the playoffs, if that makes sense.
The Caps are – the NHL, every team's – you need to get faster. It's a league about speed now, which the Caps don't have enough of, which is their own problem. So that's why people are like, what are the Rangers doing? So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
And then on Saturday, the Capitals are welcoming the Stanley Cup champions, the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Bad.
Yeah. So that they have a three-game stint where they are going to be at home, which I think that's pretty good for them. But Tampa, the Rangers are in Tampa Bay, and then the Avalanche. But those first two games, like the Avalanche, I'm not trying to disqualify what they bring to the game at all. But Rangers, Tampa Bay, those are going to – that's a very difficult two-game stretch to start the season with. Tampa Bay, they're the champions back-to-back, and they're going to go for a three-peat this year. They're going to try for that.
They have a really good opportunity too.
They do. They really do. This is not a team to take lightly, but you're going to be coming off a very hard-fought game against the Rangers. So what are you looking for in these first three games, especially up against the Stanley Cup champs?
I mean, it's tough. I want to see, is Ovechkin going to play? I think that's your first thing. I want to see how some of these young guys do in games that matters. If McMichael plays and LaPierre plays, I want to see how they really do. And not just, you know, one or two shifts. I want to see how they do throughout these first few games and if they actually are ready and see how they progress. And again, it's only a few games. You know, how they play now and if they're with the team throughout the whole season, how they're playing at the end of the season needs to be dramatically different in terms of their progression, unless they come out flying. You know, it's a tough start to the season, but that means at some point you're going to have an easier opportunity to get some points. And we'll see how they do. You know, Tampa Bay's a tough one. You know, favorites to win the cup again. Colorado's a good team. We'll see how they do.
I think Andre Burakovsky is still on that team, right?
He's still there. Yeah. And you know, I don't think there are as many teams that you look at and go, well, this is an easy win. I think everybody's getting a bit better. There's a couple of teams, you know, you look at Buffalo and you're like, okay, that's an opportunity for a win. But you can't really look at anyone and go, a team can't look at anyone. Fans, we can do what we want. But as a team, you can't look at Buffalo and go, okay, I can put in, you know, a bunch of scrubs and get a win. You know, you just can't do that in this league. So every game is going to be difficult and you have to go out and you know, put your best players out there as best you can while also making sure that you're getting a nice rotation in there. But it's a tough start to the season. So it'll be a good test early on to see how they're doing.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what the young guys bring to the regular season. Preseason's one thing. Regular season is a whole different beast. And I'm excited to see what this team can do. I'm excited to see if our captain will be on the ice. I think he will be. But, hey, only time will tell, and we've got a lot of hockey to talk about in the near future. So, Coach Dan, anything else we should cover in Caps world?
I thought it was interesting that Favari's being paired with Carlson.
Yeah, I think this is all just a way of showing these guys, look, you made the opening night roster. We trust you. Go play with some veterans. Learn what you can. Do what you got to do while you're here.
Well, I think they have a lot of faith in him. And yeah. I think they really want him to do well. And I think that they see good things coming from Martin Favari. Really got to figure out how to say his name. I feel like every time one of us says we say it differently than the time we said it before.
Yes.
So, you know, I think this kid's got a good opportunity. I think he's being given it. And I hope he takes it and runs with it because they need young defensemen. Everyone else on this defense is 30 or older, with the exception of him.
Yeah, looking at this roster and seeing some birth dates, it's interesting because I'm like, oh, that's further away from me. Oh, that's further away from me. Oh, yep, that's not. Oh, 01, that's great. Oh, 02, even better. That's wonderful.
Like, not as many as there probably should be. This is an old team, and I think that's part of why
we like
people. I think that's part of why people who talk about the NHL are skeptical on how they're going to do. So, you know, it's up to them to prove them wrong. But I think that this is a team that could use some young blood. And with Favari, with LaPierre, with McMichael, they're getting that opportunity. And I'd like to see these guys play and see how they do. And, you know, with young guys, you're going to have mistakes. And I think it's important for fans to let them make these mistakes and kind of roll with it and let them improve.
All right. So is that it for Caps World?
That is everything I have on my notes.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. We will be right back, and we're going to be going down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, let's start in Hershey, where they got their preseason started late last week, where they went 2-0 with wins over Wilkes-Barre, Scranton, and Lehigh Valley. They have one more tune-up game this Wednesday in Lehigh Valley before they start their regular season on Saturday at the Giant Center against Charlotte, and then they host Lehigh Valley on Sunday. Down in South Carolina, they don't appear to be having a preseason. Their calendar just shows nothing. I went and I clicked 2021 preseason, and there's nothing there. So I guess they don't have one, or they haven't released a schedule. I don't know. But their regular season starts on October 23rd. That being a Saturday, they're hosting Greenville at the North Charleston Coliseum. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right, well, it should be a good season for the Bears, already getting a couple wins during their preseason, and the Stingrays. Let's hope you have fun at the end of the month. We'll see what happens. I guess as the team gets maybe the Hershey Bears will be sending some players down to South Carolina. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But anyway, go Bears. Go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. It is the regular season right around the corner. Like I've been saying, so excited. Coach Stan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, I think the only real big thing to talk about is we have some players that have signed new deals. We'll go back a little bit into September to talk about a couple of these guys. And then there are some of these players whose names I am just not going to pronounce correctly. I'm just throwing it out there now.
It's what we do here.
It is what we do. Minnesota signed Kirill Kaprizov. 5 years, $9 million cap hit. That's a lot of money.
I'll take it.
Buffalo signed Rasmus Dahlin, their defenseman, to a 3-year, $18 million deal. That's a $6 million cap hit. LA signed goalie Cal Peterson to a 3-year, $15 million deal. That's $5 million a year. Vancouver finally signed their two big players that were restricted free agents. Lots of concern going on there coming out of the Pacific Northwest. But they signed defenseman Quinn Hughes to a 6-year, $47.1 million deal. That's a cap hit of $7.85 million. Then they signed Elias Pettersson to a 3-year, $22.05 million deal. That's a cap hit of $7.35. So people in Vancouver feeling a little bit better about that one. Alex Galchenyuk, he went back to Arizona, $750,000 for 1 year. I believe you played that before. Have you seen what they did with their logo, by the way? The Coyotes came out and decided they're bringing back the old logo.
I saw that.
Why are the Caps not doing the same thing? That's all I'm going to say on that one. And I was before. I even think when we did our logos thing, I don't know if I was the biggest fan, but that reverse retro jersey really made me rethink that one. And people keep talking about how I think you said the same thing. If your logo is just script, it doesn't really count as a logo.
Yeah, it's just, that's a word.
I don't love that argument, except for when you have those jerseys that are not jerseys, like sweatshirts or t-shirts, and it has like property of whatever, and then it has like the name written out capitals, but then it shows the logo, and the logo also says capitals. That always looks kind of silly to me.
Correct.
So going towards the Weagle or Screaming Eagle or even the Capitol Dome logo from before would marketably make a little bit more sense for those specific types of merchandise. Let's see what else happened. Florida signed to forward Alexander Barkov, 8 years, $80 million. That's easy math, $10 million a year. Rangers signed Mika Zibanejad, 8 years, $68 million. That's 8.5. Jack Johnson, defenseman, doesn't say how much. This was yesterday. He went to Colorado, 1 year deal. And then Jimmy Vesey signed with New Jersey, 1 year, $800,000. So yeah, NHL season's getting ready to get going. I don't think Seattle's going to have quite the season that Vegas had in their first. And their away jerseys are, I don't like them.
Still.
Because that, yeah, I mean, I only saw them that one time. So I haven't had an opportunity to, like, change my mind.
Did you see the one on Shaq?
No.
What? You didn't see Shaq wore one. You didn't see that?
No. When was that?
That was last week, I think. He was rocking
That's the home. The home's not bad.
Oh, you dig the... So it's really just the color of the jersey you're not a fan of. On the white, you don't like it.
I don't know what... You know what? And the thing is, I feel like you have to see them, like, playing in them to really get a better view of how they look, right? Okay. So, for some reason, the white, I don't know what it is. I think it's the blue on that white I don't like. I also don't like the S logo.
Yeah, I don't think either of us were big fans of that S logo.
I think it's too narrow. Like, it's narrow and tall, and it's just weird looking on an NHL jersey.
I just don't know what I'm supposed to be looking at.
I like the colors for Seattle. Yeah. Like, I like the blues. Actually, they have this. Why is this sweatshirt $85? That's insane. But anyways, I like the look of it. I don't like the S.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that either. I'm not a big fan
of
the S.
The home jersey is not bad. The away jersey is no good.
What am I looking at? Is the dark blue the tentacles of the Kraken? Is the red the eyeball? Is that an eyebrow? Or is the light blue of the logo? I don't know what any of that is. I'm so confused.
I don't know what any of that is.
Yeah. just doesn't work for my head. But hey, if you're from Seattle and you dig it, go for it. Buy one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a team. They'll be playing. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how competitive they are.
I would love it if one year the Ravens had a game in Seattle on a Sunday, the Capitals had a game in Seattle on a Saturday, and I could just fly there and enjoy both of my teams. Because, like, the stadium for the Seahawks looks like a blast to watch a game in. I mean, that looks just, like, so much fun. And then, I mean, the Kraken have a brand new arena, and I'm sure that's got all the amenities you could want as a fan. So I'd like to experience both of those events, but we'll see if that ever happens.
I don't know why that made me laugh the way you put that. I'd like to. I mean, I don't know. It seems weird. I'd rather see them play at their own arena where I can be with fans that like me, like the team, versus having to like
getting harassed.
Yeah, it's something. Well, it's something interesting that my dad once said in terms of like he's from Buffalo or outside Buffalo, and so he's a big Sabres fan. But when he would go and see Caps play the Sabres, he would never wear like Sabres gear. I don't know if he was joking or not, but he made a comment once in terms of like he didn't want to be disrespectful to the home team by wearing another team's gear in their stadium. Which I guess I get to an extent, but I also just don't feel like people yelling at me.
Yeah, I saw the Ravens against the Jets up in, was that MetLife Stadium? And Jets fans, for the most part, were really cool. There were one or two that were kind of rude. But I also saw the Ravens up against the Washington football team at FedEx Field, and that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had as a fan. So it was raining. It was raining that day. So I had a coat and I zipped that up real quick when the Washington team started winning. It was the game that RG3 got taken out of when they were winning and Kirk Cousins came in and everything. I had to zip up real quick because I was getting harassed so badly by the Washington team fans. So I did not have a good experience at FedEx Field. I would never go back to a game there.
Well, first of all, don't go to a game at FedEx because the place is a dump.
That's true.
Stadium, number one. Number two, let's not compare all fans because I've been to, you know, Caps games at Capital One and playoff game, but I was sitting next to Flyers fans who were playing Philly and they were very great conversation, incredibly friendly. I think it was game one of the playoffs and their first year they went, they ended up losing to the Flyers in six or seven. I think it was seven. But great fans. And, you know, but you think of Flyers, you're like, ugh. So from one Washington football team fan to you, I apologize that we have some dumb fans. But so does every team, to be fair. I actually have been in a team stadium. I went to go see the Bills play the Ravens in Josh Allen's first season, very first game of the season, sat in the box. That's when I sat next or win the box, I believe, with Flacco's brother. Okay. And Michael Crabtree's family was next to us in the next box over. That was cool. And I got to go on the field before the game. That was very cool. Oh, that's why I sent you that picture of you.
I was on the Jumbotron. Yeah.
I started looking over going, that's Brandon. What's he doing up there? I think I might even text you and be like, get the game.
I was in Ocean City at the time, and you're like, hey, you're at the stadium. And I'm like, I'm what?
I'm like, you're right here. Yeah, look. Did you not know this?
You're on the Jumbotron. Because I had been to a preseason game the week before, 2 weeks before. And I guess they just kept my photo on file for the.
I was just doing like a thing. But it's just the fact that I looked over and was like, that's Brandon. What's he doing up there? M&T Bank's great stadium. I've been there for soccer. I've been there to see U.S. team play. I've been there for like preseason friendlies for European football teams. And I've been there for the Ravens and to watch them destroy the Bills. Because Nathan, what the heck was his name? Patterson, whatever his name is. He sucks.
Yeah, I guess the moral of the story, though, is doesn't matter who you're rooting for. If you go to any arena or any stadium and you see someone in the opposite team's jersey of yours, just be cool. Don't be a jerk.
It's actually a good opportunity to learn from someone else about their other team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I went to go, there were a couple fans that were really rude at the Jets game. But the guy that was sitting next to me, we were in the lower bowl. I mean, the Jets have been and are continue to be terrible.
That's true.
But they kind of knew that, and the guy was like, "Hey, I'm taking my son to his first game, and these tickets were like $40, and it's the lower, like the 100 section." He's like, "Look how close we are." I was like, "Oh, that's such a cool story." I'm like, "Are you a Springsteen fan at all?" Because I love Springsteen, and he played the longest concert in the, like, the record-breaking longest concert at the stadium. I want to know, like, what end of the end zone he was in. Was it that one or this one? They didn't know, but, like, we just had a good conversation. So, like, it is okay to root for your favorite team. That's why they're your favorite team. But if you're at a game and someone is in a different colored shirt, guess what you do? Go, "Hope we have a good game. Have a good one out there." And then shake their hands. Or actually, don't do that because it's COVID. Wave to them and be like, "Hey, you know, have a good one." And that's all you got to do. Don't got
to
be rude.
Agreed. Yeah. Just be nice. It's not hard to be nice to someone.
Yeah.
It's actually quite easy to do that.
Yeah. Well, after the moral of that story, Mr. Rogers,
hey,
have we covered everything?
One thing. There is one thing. I actually think I have found definitive evidence and proof that LaPierre is ahead of Connor McMichael on the depth chart.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I am on Fanatics right now. And
right.
If you try and custom make a Caps shirt with a player name on the back, a jersey, as you like to call it?
Jersey. Yeah.
What did I just call it?
A jersey.
What is that?
I don't know.
I don't know what that means. Anyways, you can make one with LaPierre custom made, like they'll select a player. I don't see Connor McMichael's name on here.
Ooh, interesting.
I think this is definitive proof that LaPierre is going to be on the team the rest of the season.
Interesting. I mean, you did not believe me. That is definitely a sign, but you did not believe me when I went to a preseason game. It was the first year Tom Wilson, there was potential of him being on this team full time. And you're like, "No, he's going to go to Hershey. He's not coming up. He's not going to skip Hershey. He's not doing this. He's not going to do that." And I went to a preseason game. They did player intros, and they had shot a video of him like skating up to the camera and putting snow on the camera, and they had graphics made. And I'm like, "Dude, they don't just make them for every single rookie out there. He's making this team. They got graphics packages for him."
I feel like I've seen that they made that for LaPierre and McMichael.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But that's how we knew Tom Wilson was going to be on this team.
I vaguely remember us having that conversation. But, I mean, we'll see what happens. I was just goofing around with the LaPierre thing. But I do think it's interesting that McMichael's not on there. Someone at Fanatics needs to wake up and fix that.
Yeah, you can also go on Fanatics right now and get a Tom Wilson W t-shirt for only $22.39.
Nope.
Normally they're $32. Or you can get a Jacob Verana for $13. Fanatics really should sponsor us.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, so anything else we should cover here for this episode?
Nah, I think that's it. Wrap it up, man. Let's go.
Well, if any of you would like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related stuff when it happens. I'm on there also talking about Arsenal Football Club. Bills whooping up on the Chiefs last night. That's why I'm rocking my Josh Allen jersey right now as we record. Not that you can see that because this is an audio medium. Also talking occasionally about Washington Football Team and how their rebuild continues, even though they may not call it a rebuild. Also on there, occasionally talking about other sports and things that come to mind. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Even if you haven't enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook. Facebook.
But don't tell us.
Yeah. Don't. Again, it's not hard to be nice. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. That's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, maybe the Hershey Cubs, if that is, so I still want a shirt from them, if that is Caps-related stuff or just Brandon finds it fun. We also post some NHL stuff, Team USA, both men's and women's, and other interesting things that pop into Brandon's head. But that's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were talking about the Ravens. We were talking about M&T Bank Stadium. It's a very nice stadium to go and see a game in. If they happen to be a fan of a purple-clad team based out of Baltimore, is there a podcast they should be listening to?
So you can go over to check out my other podcast, the Baltimore Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh, we cover all things Baltimore Ravens. You're probably going to know the outcome of the Monday night game, but the Ravens are welcoming Indy back to Baltimore.
That's a win for you guys.
We'll see what happens. I think so as well, but I think Indy will be putting up a little bit of a fight. Carson Wentz, He's a very talented quarterback when he doesn't quit. I'll give him that. He might not be the greatest, but he didn't quit. And then the Ravens will beat the Bills in January.
Nope.
The Bills are definitely the team to beat right now, though. I will give them that. They have the best offense. They have the best defense.
Freaking refs tried to give it to Kansas City.
Tried. Unsuccessfully.
Man, that pass interference. The exact same thing happened right before. I was sitting there being like, are you kidding me right now? Oh, my God. Josh Allen's not having it.
Yeah, Coach Dan was angry on that one.
It was more like, are you serious right now? And then Chris Collinsworth, I was never in the frame of mind. Like, everybody hated on him. And I was like, he's fine. He's kind of boring. Whatever. But then he's just, last night he was just irritating me so much.
Yeah, I don't understand the hate on him, but I don't understand it. But
he was all Kansas City all the time on that broadcast. And like at one point, some dude, I don't remember who it was, he wrapped up Josh Allen. He's talking about hurting his ankle. And I was like, hold up. Do not ask for a star player, a quarterback, or really any player to get injured. Like, what a... I don't know. That irritated me.
Well, anyway, back to hockey. So, if you enjoyed this episode of What the Puck, make sure you tell everybody else about it. We do the show for free, and you listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All right, here's another thing that is just crazy to me about Coach Dan and I have been trying to figure out this Apple Podcast issue. Number one, Facebook now will tell us, hey, there's a new episode out, but it won't play it on our app or on the Facebook app. The Call, my Ravens podcast, doesn't even show that that podcast exists. So I have no idea. Both of them use our same server. And here's another wrinkle. So we've had people tell us, I can't download the new stuff on Apple Podcast. I can't hear it. It says it just turns. It says it's 1 second of an episode, whatever. I got a notification today of somebody goes, who told you guys there was something wrong with Apple? I've listened to all of your episodes of The Call, and I've never had an issue, and I'm still not.
What?
So now I have a bunch of people saying, I can't hear any of your stuff on Apple. And then I have this one guy saying, I hear everything fine. It's totally fine. I don't know what their deal is. I am so confused. Coach Dan and I are looking into it, though, but we've given you guys so many options to check us out. Hopefully you're not missing anything, but it is so confused. This is above my head. I don't get it, but we are trying to figure out what is going on with Apple. I still don't know if it's us. We don't know.
We brought in someone who is smarter than us to try and figure it out.
I still think it's an Apple issue and not us, but we will continue to churn these episodes out. It might be a little difficult to find us, but you can find us on all those other apps. So make sure you continue with us. Check us out. Sorry, everybody out there, for this headache, but I blame Apple. That's what I'm going to do, is blame Apple. But anyway, we do the show for free. Make sure you go and tell everybody. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Let's go over the games until we talk again. The Caps open up the regular season on Wednesday the 13th up against the Rangers in D.C. at Capital One Arena. You can watch that on TNT. It says at 7:30. Bumping my AEW Dynamite to Saturday. How dare you?
Sons of... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, the 16th, the Capitals welcome the Stanley Cup champions to town, the Tampa Bay Lightning. That game is at 7 o'clock. You can watch that one on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Tuesday, the 19th, the Avalanche. They come down the mountain to D.C., and you can watch that game. It starts at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus or Hulu. So I'm going to need somebody's ESPN Plus login for that game.
I got you.
Because I haven't paid for that yet.
I got you.
Awesome.
Just text me.
Well, hey, all right. So that is it for the show this
week. I don't got you. ESPN, don't get Disney. Leave me alone.
Hey, those mouse ears hear a lot. So they know what you did.
Buy your own, Braden.
That's it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps. We'll be right back.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.